Sing the hymn, "My Saviour Suffered on the Tree." Glory to the bleeding lamb. Come and praise the Lord with me. Glory to the bleeding lamb.
My Saviour suffered on the tree, for in the bleeding lamb of God,
before the foundation of the world. Indeed, we realise, Lord, had you not died for us, Lord, we wouldn't be here. Lord, we would have no hope, we would have no joy. Lord, to know that we were lost and heading towards hell would bring us no comfort or joy whatsoever. Indeed, it would bring despair. But Lord, we're glad and thankful tonight that you had a plan of redemption. We thank you, Lord, that you yourself have redeemed us, that you reached down, Lord, that you came seeking us. And we bless your holy name for that this evening. We pray, Lord, once again, Lord, that you'll come and visit with us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, and move amongst us in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Pray, Lord God, every heart will be filled full of joy, and every heart will be appreciative of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Lord, help us, Lord, that we would worship you this afternoon in spirit on and truth. Help us with the worship, Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, again, if there's any, Lord, that's not here, Lord, that's couldn't be here, we pray, Lord, you'll undertake and bless them, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray, Lord, also, Lord, for those in our family that's not yet saved. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll convict them by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus Christ's name and grant them repentance in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Now, Lord, just help us, Lord, to continue in this house, and Lord, to praise thee, to worship thee,
yes,
to magnify thy holy name, for indeed, Lord Jesus Christ, thou art Lord. And Lord, we say, blessed be your lovely name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can we sing? I was sinking deep in sin, far from peaceful shore. Love lifted me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from where I go. Thank you.
before the parson come. Maybe you can stand with me. For us to ball the earth beside, chase us the ball into thy bride. Build us divine and there I see wonderful man.
Fairest of all.
Listening in tonight the way of the church app or Facebook, the Lord bless you. Brother George from Dublin Fellowship FaceTimed me the other day and he was really excited and he said to make sure and greet everyone and Uncle John as well. He calls John his uncle as well. He's did that for years and he says make sure and greet all the brethren and Uncle John. But he was telling me some powerful testimonies. Three different people diagnosed with cancer and they came to him asking for prayer and he said, you know, I'm not a preacher or anything, I'm just a song leader. And he said, but George, we want you to pray and we believe God will answer it. And the Lord healed every one of them, completely healed them. And it's powerful, the testimonies you're sharing with me also of a young woman. This young woman came to George for advice. She worked with him in this job have something to do with computers. She came to him for advice. George gave her advice like a father would give a daughter. She took on board that advice, young Catholic woman. She was looking for a husband. George told her what to do, told her she'd get a husband. And she got a husband, they invited him to the wedding. The priest came to George at the wedding and said, George, this young woman speaks so highly of you. The advice you gave her, she did it, she kept it. Now she's got a lovely husband. Several months later, some time passed, they couldn't have any children. And they rang George again for prayer. And George prayed for them. And she had a baby. Praise God. So we just thank the Lord that somebody was excited. I'm telling you, he was really excited on the live thing when he was telling me all this. It was awesome for my dad as well to make sure and tell you that he's praying for you. They're praying for you down in Dublin. They believe in God. And people's been praying all over the world, praise God. And we appreciate the brethren everywhere. There's good people everywhere, you know. And God's working on different ends everywhere as well, praise God. Also, some people might have knew this, some people might have knew it, but Sister Linny and Colin the other week, when they left service, had an accident in the car. Somebody ran into them leaving, going home from church here. The car was smashed up a bit, it's getting fixed, but the both of them dwell. So we just thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. And also that young woman, what was in that massive accident, Brother Gary would know her father well. And she's doing well. She's a lot of bones broken things, but she's up talking and she's doing well. Praise God. And it's just the hand of the Lord that many times preserves us and keeps us. Praise God. Tonight I want to look at healing facts. And these things I want to look at during the time of our lockdown, which was about 5 months, I think, if I'm right. I really studied a lot on healing, on different scriptures, on different things. I read and studied a lot, waited on the Lord a lot and prayed a lot about it. And I believe God just really opened a lot of things up for me about it. And I really believe that. And I want to share some of them with you tonight. And I want you to believe in God. You see, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's not God's will to heal everybody. Well, then that's like saying it's not God's will to save everybody. The preacher never ever gets on a pulpit, and if he does, he should never be in one. Any preacher that gets up here that's preaching salvation should believe that God can save. And if he doesn't, he should never preach. And if a man's going to preach in healing, he needs to believe God can heal, just the same as God can save. And we certainly believe healing's in the atonement. Now, we know salvation is the utmost important thing. We all believe that. We know that. But healing, as Christians, we that are saved, we need to believe in healing. Many times we need healing. And, you know, and God's made provision for it. And I want to just encourage you tonight on healing facts and just share with you from the Word of God. Let's read Psalms 46. Maybe we can stand. Well, we read Psalms 46, verse 1 and 2. I know we read it this morning. We read 91 and 46. But let's read Psalms 46, verse 1 and 2 again tonight. And I want to just share with you some thoughts, and I'll just try and go slow tonight, and I won't be too long either. Praise God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will I not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Let me read on a little bit more. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. See that. Think upon this. There is a river that streams whereof to make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kings, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. Praise God. Let us bow for prayer tonight. And if you have a need this evening, and we want to remember as well, we Chloe this evening, she's a high temperature, but the Lord will really touch her tonight. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you this evening that we can come before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I ask you this evening that you will indeed bless your words till our hearts tonight, in Jesus Christ's name. Bind every work of the devil in all of our lives and in all of our homes, and spoil his goods in the name of the Lord. Father, give your people peace and strength this evening. Help us as we hear your word and the truths of your word to meditate upon them and to think upon them, in Jesus Christ's name. For their strength to their bones and health, strength to their bones and health from the navel. Father, this evening, do us good, I pray. And Lord, I pray for we Chloe tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Touch her, I pray, and make her whole in Jesus' name. Father, for all listening in this service tonight, Lord, only you can know who that would be. But we ask for every one of them that you'll touch them and you'll do a work within them. In Jesus Christ's name. Above all things, we ask you'll save souls. In Jesus Christ's name. Now, Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. And I do need your help, Lord, I know that. But I thank you for your help. For you are a very present help in the time of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Many people believe that God sometimes heals the sick, but they have no personal knowledge of Jesus as an indwelling healer. Now, once you're saved, you have a personal experience as of Jesus as an indwelling Savior. And once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you had a personal experience with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He indwelt you and he filled you with the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus also is an indwelling healer. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's the ever-present healer. They know nothing about the many facts which prove the physical health of the part of every man's salvation. There's physical health promised to every single one of us. Did you realize that? From the Word of God. It is God's will that we have health and we have strength. The Bible says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul does prosper." That's God's word. They see others healed, but they question whether it is God's will to actually heal them. They're waiting for a special revelation of the will of God concerning their case. They're wanting a special revelation for their case. Now, if you preach salvation, you don't need a special revelation. When you hear that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's enough, isn't it? When it should be enough for healing. We don't need a special revelation. We already have the Word of God, what tells us God's will on the facts of healing. And I'm going to share them, some of them with you, and there's many of them more than I could share in this service, or several other services wouldn't even be enough. They're doing all within their human power. People that say it might be God's will to heal them. But yet with all, they go to the doctor, they go to the hospital, and they do every single thing within their human ability and within their human power to get well. Now, if they question whether it's God's will to heal them, why would they go to the doctor? Some people even take different potions, different medicines, different herbal things. There's nothing wrong with any of it. I'm not preaching against it. But all I'm doing is making a point of what people say. It might be God's will to heal me. Why then do they try to get well if it's not God's will to heal them? If they're saying it's not God's will to heal them, they should make no effort to get well. Sure, that would be against the will of God if they believed what they're saying. But yet with all, they do make effort. If it is not God's will for them to be well, it would be wrong for them to seek recovery from any natural means. If it is God's will for them to be well, then it is only logical that the best way of recovering is by divine means. Divine means. Divine means is God. Now, God uses medicine. I believe that. You believe that? I believe when they found, you know the stuff when you take an antibiotic? Penicillin. I believe God let them get that and they found it. I believe in it. I believe we need it. Take it. I believe that. I believe there's things in nature that we can take what would heal us from certain things. And I believe in the ways to take them. I believe that. And I know of many great men of God that told people, go ahead to the doctor. And one woman was praying for, and you know, her husband came to the man of God and he said, this young man, it was his mother was sick. She was praying for, she was announced healed. And her son said, something's not right. Mom's not how she should be. And it was William Branham said, I thought that myself. He said, now go you down this evening and ask your mom, is she still taking her tablets? And he said, no, she'd cut them back. And he said, well, the Holy Spirit didn't tell her to cut them back. He told her to finish the course and she's healed. And she finished the course and was healed. Now, the tablets didn't heal her, but God gave the instructions like that through a man of God, and you shouldn't question it. Now, I can't explain that,
You know, but he did that. He said that, and God backed it up, and God done it. Amen. The Bible reveals the will of God regarding healing of the body as clear as it reveals the will of God as regarding the salvation of the soul. God does not need to give any special revelation of his will, because God's will is plain in the word of God. What must I do that we might work the works of God? Believe in him whom he has sent. That's a simple statement, isn't it? But that's what he told them. When they saw the things Jesus did, they said, what might we do that we might work the works of God? And he said, believe in him whom he has sent. And you know he's talking about the Lord Jesus. Amen. When he has definitely promised to do anything, God, he'll do it. See, the problem is we think that it's down to us, or if a preacher gives you a word, well, maybe the preacher's word was wrong. If that preacher's quoting the word of God, or it's a genuine word, you need to believe it. It's God that's saying it. And if God is saying it, God will do it. Now, the Lord could, I know it's like a prophecy. God could give you a prophecy on a condition. How many knows that? But yet he could give you a prophecy with no condition. How many knows that as well? And if God can give you a word with no condition, God will do it. But healing's promised to all that will believe. That's the only condition. Believe. Amen. Believe. Now I want us to look at some of these facts. His promises to heal are as much a revelation of his will as his promises to see him are a revelation of his will. Now in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 31. And I want to say that sickness is no more natural than sin. Is sin natural? Sin came because of man's condition after the fall. But look what it says before the fall. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So when God made man and God made everything, it was very good. God never made man sick. God never made man sinful. Man became sinful after he disobeyed God. Man became sick after he disobeyed God. Now here's the very simple statement. If the disobedience of one man brought about sickness, then Romans tells us the obedience of one man brings about justification. For us, it's appointed unto men to die, but after that's a judgment. But Christ died for all men. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But Christ died for all. He died for every man. So therefore, it's not a limited atonement that some people preach. Salvation is to all that will believe, to all that will come. And we must preach it to all that will believe and to all that will come. The provision has been made for all. As one man, sin entered into the world, and by one man, righteousness entered into the world. One man brought about universal condemnation. One man brought about universal justification. As we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. How can we believe for the rapture if we cannot believe for healing of the body? God's going to change these bodies into catching up. We know that. The word of God tells us in Corinthians, for this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying of death, where is thy sting, O grave, where is thy victory, for it's swallowed up at Calvary. We're going to get a body change. Yes. Now it's true, and our brother John mentioned this when we were in Singapore. You won't have to change your clothes or set your boots off or nothing like that. The Lord will take you the way you are now. And what he'll do with you, I can't explain it. Nobody can. But he's going to change you. But you don't have to tick off nothing for him to do that. He'll take you the way you are. Now, we can believe God for that. We should be fit to believe God for healing. Amen. And people that don't believe in preaching healing preach about the rapture and the body change, but yet they won't preach about healing. Now, to a greater miracle, would you not say which would be the most? For to change your whole body or to heal part of it, I'd say the whole body change would be more. So they're preaching someone that's the more, and they're preaching nothing that's the lesser. But we should preach the both. Amen. Therefore, we should look for the remedy for sin and the remedy for sickness. What was the remedy for sin? In the natural, but from not in the natural. We do not look in the natural for the remedy for sin. We cannot be saved by our own works. We cannot be saved by a program or a ritual, but we are saved when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He was nailed to the cross for us. I saw a fellow the other day, and I'm not ridiculing, but he had a thing on Facebook, and he says, you know, it's a wrong thing that Jesus nailed Muhammad's nail through the wrist. And he explained this all, sounded good, and dislocated his shoulders and all the rest of it. And straight away, the word of God came to me from the Psalms. How did you get these marks in your hands? And Jesus said, in the house of my friend. Then the word of God came to me for Thomas. And Jesus says to Thomas, reach hither and feel the marks in my hands. Feel the holes in my hands, he said to Thomas. So you see, that what somebody said sounded good, and then it all explained out, but it was not the word of God. And something can sound good, but it must be on the real foundation, and the foundation is what they led, the holy apostles and prophets. And Paul said, we can build on no other, for there is no other. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. What else? Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's no other name, no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe his hands was nailed, because the Bible says his hands was nailed. Behold my hands and my feet, that's what he said. And be not doubting, but believe me. Hallelujah. So we don't look at the natural for it. We cannot be saved in the natural, but we look to Jesus Christ. Galatians tells us that the curse of the law, he took the curse that was due us. He took it at the cross. He nailed it to the cross. Colossians also talks about it. But God, who creates us happy, strong, and healthy in fellowship, when God made Adam, did he have any faculties wrong with him? No. Adam had nothing wrong with his body when God made him. What age was it? William Mullen asked the top professor at Queen's University this question, and he couldn't answer him. He was preaching evolution. And Willie Mullen challenged him, and he thought he'd make a wee fellow out of Willie Mullen, but it didn't work. And Willie Mullen said, I have a question for you. He said, what age was Adam when God made him? What age was he? Because he's a full man. And he couldn't tell him what age he was. What age did he look? He couldn't tell him that either, sure he couldn't, because God just made him. And he made him a full man. And when God made Adam, remember when God made Adam, he was a son of God. And there was no death in his body when God made him. And if sin hadn't entered in, he'd have lived and lived. But because of sin, and Romans tells us, for by one man sin entered. By one man, Adam. That's the Bible. Both sin and sickness came into the world through the fall. Therefore, we must look for healing of both sin and sickness in the Savior. You can't look for it somewhere else. Do you remember I preached years ago and the title was Medicine That's Not Found in a Bottle? How many remembers that? Medicine That's Not Found in a Bottle. You know, the F.F. Bosworth told a wonderful story, and it was a true story of Abdullah. He was a wee boy on one of his missionary trips, and his parents took him to the doctors, and they got him medicine. He was very ill and he was dying. And so that he wouldn't lose the bottle of medicine, the doctor tied it around his neck with a wee bit of rope, and the bottle was hanging on his neck, and he had it on him for several days, but he was still no better. And his parents came to one of the preachers of the missionaries and told him, you know, we got the bottle of medicine, but Abdullah's no better. And the missionary said, now tell me, did you read the instructions on the bottle? And they said, no. The doctor put it in a rope around his neck, and we've hung it on him for days, and he's no better. And the missionary said, the bottle hanging around his neck's no good. He needs to follow the instructions on the bottle. And the instructions on the bottle is 1 spoonful 3 times a day. And 1 spoonful 3 times a day, Abdullah soon recovered. And the Word of God's the same. You can have a Bible. You can say you know the Lord. But you must follow the instructions on the Bible. Repent ye therefore, Acts 2:38. And be baptized, every one of you. And three titles. No. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise was only to them. No, it doesn't say that either. It is unto you. And to your children, and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. So the Holy Spirit's promise to you. Mark 16 says, if you read the Bible, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The book of James says, call the elders of the church, anoint the sick with oil, and the prayer of faith pray over them in the name of the Lord, and they shall recover. That's God's word. God's word can't fail. When God called his children out of Egypt, he made a covenant of healing with them. If you go to Exodus 15, verse 26, and Exodus 15, verse 26, and said, if I would diligently, that means attentively. You need to be really listening. That's what that's meaning. Diligently, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, don't let it drift over your head. Hear it. And wilt do that which is right in the sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all the statutes, and will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I've said it many times recently. This is one of the seven redemptive names of Jehovah. Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you know, a group that I started out with are very fond of the Scofield Bible. You know who I'm talking about. Years ago when I was a wee lad. And they're fond of the Scofield Bible. And there's nothing wrong with the Scofield Bible. And on page 7 of the Scofield Bible, if you've got one, read. And on page 7 you will see where Scofield explains about the seven redemptive names of God. And one of them is a healer. You know when F.F. Bosworth was challenged? When the man wanted to challenge William Branham. And William Branham said no, he wouldn't argue over the word of God, he wouldn't do it. Bosworth says, let me stand up. And he said, all right, brother. And he stood up, and this boy gave his whole spiel for a long time. And F.F. Bosworth said, I've only one question. One question. And he asked him about that redemptive name. Was that for Jesus Christ? He couldn't say it wasn't. And he wouldn't answer him. Because he knew as soon as he said, yes, that's for Jesus Christ, then that means Jesus Christ is our healer, as same as he's our Savior. And the argument was over on one question. One question. And F.F. Bosworth in one question defeated that man in one question. And you know the rest of the story. If you go on and listen to it, it's powerful how God came into that service and everything and vindicated his own word. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Acts 23, verse 25. And he shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and bless thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So God is saying, if we will do the right thing, that God will bless our bread and bless us our income. That's what we're living. Aren't we living by bread and water? And we know that Jesus Christ, the true bread, has come up down from heaven. And he's the living water as well. Now bless your bread, now bless your water, and I will take sickness away. So he's talking to people that have sickness in the midst, and God is saying, I will take it away from you. That's the promise of God. That's the word of God. Somebody said, but Brother Tom, you're using the Old Testament again. I know, because it's still the word of God. And it'll dovetail right to the new. There's no problem with it. It all ties in. It's the word of God. And I tell you, when I look at the Old Testament, and if I see what God could do in the Old Testament under an old sacrifice that had to be re-offered every year with an earthly priest that was born a sinner, and the earthly priest could never enter in until he sacrificed first for himself, then the people. But Jesus Christ, who knew no sin and had no sin, was offered up once for all, and he never offered for himself. He offered for us, for he knew no sin. with a superior sacrifice and a superior covenant tonight, surely the Lord can heal us. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only that, it's Hebrews 13 and 8. The same yesterday, right here in Exodus, the same today and the same forever. Malachi 3 verse 6. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Thank God he never changes. All through their history, the Israelites, we find them in sickness and in pestilence turning to God in repentance. And what happened when they turned to God in repentance? God heard them and God healed them. Now that's under the Old Testament. Now that we do fall short and we make a mistake, we can turn to the Lord tonight. And the Lord will hear us. And the Lord will answer us. And the Lord will recover us. They turned to God in repentance and confession always. When their sins were forgiven, their sicknesses were healed. So look, I challenge you to study this yourself. I've studied it. When you study these things in the Old Testament, you will see where they fell away from God. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against the servants of God and all them things. But when they repented of their sin, not only did God forgive them, but he healed them. He healed them as well as forgiven them. Now surely if God can heal them and forgive them and heal them, surely the Lord can forgive us and heal us. Do you remember the man we had in our service some years ago? Quite a time back. His name's gone from me. But you know, he was given up to die. And he was in the hospital on machines. I saw a clip of him the other day on somewhere. That's what reminded me. He was in our service. He was with another man from America. He preached in the Orange Hall one evening. But he's given up to die and they said he couldn't live. And a man of God rang his wife and said, go down to the hospital and whisper into his ear, you're going to live and not die. And he was unconscious when she did that. And he's living. I think I mentioned his name this morning, sister. It's gone from me, his name. He's good friends with a man called Ted Bisedley. He's really quite a preacher, this wee man. I've seen a clip of him the other day and he danced all over the front of the church. So we're having a revival. And that's just a few days ago. And I tell you, God lifted that man. He was actually, he was on machines and they said he wouldn't live. But God spoke to another man, told his wife to go down, whisper in his ear, you're going to live and not die. And he lived. You know, there's another man I heard of years ago, a Spanish man, and he fell down of a roof. His father was a preacher. And the man that told me the testimony said this wee man was a hate the devil preacher. Just a wee small man, but he hated the devil. He was a hate the devil preacher. Like Gary says, he liked to disturb the devil, this fella. And I tell you, his son fell on the roof, down on, and they said he was going to be paralyzed. He'd never walk again. And he was over in the hospital there in the States, I think it was. And he's over in the hospital paralyzed right down his back and everything. No feeling in his legs or nothing. And his father went in to see him and they gave him all this speed. You know, he never walked and all this medical. What they saw on the charts. And the fella said, they were looking at a chart, but I'm looking at something else. And he said, I don't care what your charts say and what your medical say, but he says he's coming out of here and he's coming out right now. And he clapped his hands on him and rebuked the devil over him and prayed for him. And the next morning, he walked out of the hospital the next morning. And that was a man that fell down of a roof. How many remembers Billy Andrews? You know, he used to be very friendly with Brian Freeborn. Did you ever hear Billy Andrews? Billy Andrews was a man that had a great ministry. And then, you know, he came round the message groups and everything. They did their best to get him quietened down. That's the truth now. I'm not just saying that. That's true. And he had a powerful ministry. And God really used him. And Billy Andrews fell out of a tree and broke his back. Clean out of a tree and broke his back. Now, this, you could check this. He's passed away now. And ask Brother Brian Freeborn. He'll tell you as well. Billy Andrews had a real miracle ministry himself way back in the 50s. That God really used him. And he preached a sermon once and I heard it. The same sermon Jack Cole preached, God will set your barley fields on fire. How many heard that sermon? Well, Billy Andrews preached that as well. But Billy Andrews fell out of a tree and he broke his back. And they told him he'd never be right, he'd never do this, never do that. And I saw a video of him, this is way years ago, preaching. And he got excited and he was real croaky voice. And he preached all over the world, everywhere, and God really used him. And he says, they told me not to move quick. He said, if I ever move quick, I'd be in the hospital right away because the way he broke his back. And he kicked his legs out in the meeting. And he jumped down to the platform. He ran all over the church shouting. And praising God. That was Billy Andrews. Amen. And I tell you, God can do anything. And we need to believe it. Now I know if you see it, it'll help you. I believe that. I know that. But we need to believe God for it. I believe if we believe it, and that need be, God can let us see it. I believe that with all my heart. Praise God. But God's definitely a healer. Praise God. Numbers 21 verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live and not die. And I tell you, this brass serpent is a type of Jesus Christ on the cross. How many knows what the brass means? The brass speaks of the judgment of God. And when you study the tabernacle, everywhere you see brass, you're seeing the judgment of God. And this brass speaks of the judgment of God. And Jesus Christ was judged for me and you. He took our judgment upon himself. That's why you can quote Romans 8 verse 1. There's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus Christ took our condemnation at the cross. Once you're saved, you can quote that, Romans 8 verse 1. Amen. And Jesus was lifted up on the cross. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. They could look at this brass serpent, and when they looked, they lived. Now we will look at Jesus as our healer. You that see him, you can look at him as your healer. He's your savior, but he's also your healer. And he's also your baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And he is a soon coming king. Amen. Hallelujah. And we can look at him. And if God healed those people who were bitten by the fiery serpent through a look at a brazen serpent on a pole, which was a type of Calvary and Christ. Turn with me for a moment, just for a moment, to John 3, verse 14 and 15. John 3, and I won't try and rush in or anything. I'll try and just take my time with this, and I'm going to finish in 10 minutes. We'll be finished. I won't hold you as long tonight. John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You see how the scripture from the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament at times right over. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, eternal life means you can never really die. This body can go to the grave, but you have a soul that's saved for all eternity. You have eternal life. That is the Greek word is Zoe, which is God's life in you. God's life living in you. Praise God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if you believe on the name, you're saved. It's not a powerful name. There's no other name like that name. Believing on the name, you're saved. And then if you lay hands on the sick on the same name, they're healed. Mark 16. So you believe on that name, you're saved. You receive eternal life. When? Right there and then. And if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now recovery means, that might necessarily mean a miracle, but it means you're going to get well. You're going to recover. Now God can do a miracle as well. That's instant. God can do that. And you know the Bible speaks of the gifts of healing and working of miracles. Amen? In Corinthians, you can read that. It's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Praise God. If everyone looked, they lived. Praise God. Who looks at Christ and also can be healed? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If everyone who looked at Breezy's sermon was healed then, it is logical that everyone who looks at Jesus Christ can be healed today. Now think of it again. People, put it off just to salvation, but come back for a moment. Let me pause for a moment. They were bitten. They were sick. They were physically sick. They were dying. And they looked and they were healed. Physically. And if God could heal them physically then when they looked, how much more can God physically heal us now when we look at Jesus Christ? He can still do it. And if any preacher says he can't, he's denying the Bible. He's denying Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What about John 14, 12? The works that I do shall ye do also. And greater works, and we know the original means more. You say, how can there be more? Because there's so many people preaching all over the world in so many different places. That's how you get the more. Does everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. But he said, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. That's the words of Jesus Christ. Do you believe them tonight? He can let you do the greater works.
Amen.
You know, Buford Dahl, have you ever heard that testimony? It's a true testimony. It's a powerful prophecy what was given to him. And he was told, what you're seeing now is nothing. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? But that's what he said. Now no, you say, brother, we're not seeing it tonight. Right, but we should believe it can be done.
Amen.
We should believe it can be done. We should not deny it. We should believe it can be done. If it's been said, it can be done.
Yes.
And there is people saying things tonight. There's things happening over the world. And you'd be surprised. God, you know, if God took one of you brothers out of this room, hear me this evening, let's explain this to you. If God took one of you out of this room and put you way over somewhere, there's no needs here like in some of Africa. Oh no. Them people don't have the money to go down to the doctors. Now, I've been there and I know what I'm talking about. And you go to a service to preach and some people still no shoes on their feet. And they need healed. They're coming to God. They've no other choice.
Yes.
We've so many other avenues. Now, if you took one of you brothers and put yours over there and you preached a simple message and believed that God would confirm it and then people would believe it. But we're so up with it, with the medical and everything. And we're so dependent, and I'll tell you another thing, we're so much in fear these days with the television. The COVID-19 is people in fear. They're afraid to move. I'll guarantee you, tell me if I'm preaching the truth or not, people's afraid to get close to anybody now and have a chat with them. They're afraid in case someone jumps on them. I tell you, someone, you should be like, we should have an attitude like the man of God, you know what? But John G. Meek was so confident, he said, no disease will live in me. And they said, oh, you're quite a smart fella. Well, we've got to take you down to the laboratory. And he said, go ahead and get the germs. And they put them on John G. Lake's hand and they died. And they could not live in John G. Lake's hand. The germs died. Germs that was killing people like flies. But John G. Lake, now I'm not telling nobody to do that, but I'm telling you that's what God can do with a man that believes. That's what God can do. And you know Miss Wigglesworth, when he went to raise a man from the dead, and he lifted him out of the coffin 6 times, and he fell back down 6 times, and the fellow with him now said, Wigglesworth, that's enough. He's dead. You know Wigglesworth didn't say, now hold on a minute, brother. No, Wigglesworth told him to shut his mouth up.
Yes.
He said, close your mouth up.
Yes.
I know what God's told me.
Uh-huh.
He might not have told you, but I know what he told me. And he lifted him again and he lived.
Amen.
They gave a dead baby to Smith Wigglesworth, and Smith Wigglesworth took his boot and kicked it like a football into the audience. And somebody caught it and it screamed and cried and was living. Now you can't act that. You get so many people today and they're going to be like Smith Wigglesworth, and they're going to be like Jack. You can't, that doesn't work. God doesn't work like that. God always has the original. God can use you the way you are. And you've got to be characteristic. Go and use that. And you know, some people can be rough and tumble, but they can be there and sharpen somebody else. That's the truth. And many times you might not understand what it's for, but God knows what he's doing. Amen. The diamond never starts out the way you see it in the shop. But that man that knows about it can see a diamond in it from the start. But me and you couldn't, but he can. And God can see a jewel from the start. You say, where do you get that in the Bible? They shall be mine on that day when I make up with my jewels, saith the Lord. That's the word of God. You're the Lord's jewels. Do you realize that? You're precious before God. Don't you love your own children? God loves you. And if your child asks you for bread, you wouldn't give him a stone. And if you ask God for somebody, he'll not give you the opposite. If you're sincere, God will do it. He'll give you the Holy Spirit if you really want it. Amen? And I'm closing. I'm reading one more scripture and I'm closing. It's Matthew 3, verse 4. I mentioned Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so, for the same purpose must the Son of Man be lifted up. For the same purpose. Read Numbers 21, verse 4 to 9. And then we're going to close. Numbers 21, verse 4 to 9. And they journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And they spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is any water, or our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So God brought them out, and God gave them provision, but they weren't happy. They were complaining. Not the way it is. When the preacher was too long or he was too short. Preach too long, preach too short. They get all the complaints. And can you imagine how Moses felt? Could you imagine how Moses felt when they complained? And God brought these things on the people because of what they said. That's why it came on them. That's what happens when you talk against God. Can you see that in the Bible? Verse 5. And the people speak against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people much. People of Israel died. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. And this is how this scripture came about of the serpent. It didn't come about because they were good. And the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Only God. Amen? And if a man sets himself out on a goodies, two shoes, Luke, he's finished to start with. Every one of us is in all of sin. Romans 6:23. But this is how it came about. Verse 8, the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Even though they rebelled, even though they done these things, God was merciful. God was rich in mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That's the mercy of the Lord. Even though they spoke against Moses and spoke against God, God still forgave them. Verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. God healed them. And I tell you, you're saved tonight. Don't blame God. When something happens, don't blame God. The devil tried to get Job to blame God. How many knows that? And his own wife said, curse God and die. But the Bible says Job held on to his integrity. Job believed God. Now it looked like God had abandoned him. It sure looked like it, didn't it? First of all, he lost his children, he lost his houses, he lost his oxen, his asses, his camels, he lost all the stuff. You read of Job's inheritance. You know, one time I read it 8 times, the book of Job. One time, 8 times in a row, I read the book of Job.
I was in jail, but I read it plenty of time. But I read it 8 times in a row. And Job held on to his integrity. Job lost everything. And then the next thing, God permitted Satan to strike him. But he said, spare his life. Don't touch his life. But you can strike him. And God, Job was smitten by the devil with boils from the crown of his head to his foot. He was almost dead. And he was in the ash heap. Well, that's just like the day, isn't it? God couldn't be with him. Sure, look at him. Not what people say. That's what Job's friend said. Job, now you brought this on yourself because you've done some terrible sin. You ever thought that? Oh, that person's sick. Well, they must have done some terrible sin. Well, Job didn't. But he was sick. You said, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't know the Bible. You say that's a strong statement, isn't it? Well, I can tell you that a man in the Bible was blind. And the Bible says, who sinned, him or... Did this man sin or his parents? The Word of God said neither. Neither. But that the works of God might be made manifest in him. God took it as an opportunity to show his power and his glory. In every situation we should get in, we should see it as an opportunity to bring God in the scene. And you know, God come down to Job Field in a whirlwind. And God said to Job, stand now upon thy feet, gird up thy loins like a man. Thou shalt command me, and I'll answer you. In other words, whatever you say, Job, it's happening. Isn't that something? That was spoken word, wasn't it? And Job's friends all had to come and get him to pray for them. And God went further. He said, they'll not be forgiven except you, Job, pray for them. It's not like Christ. We can go to no other, only the Master himself. Do you see what I'm saying? We have to go to the Lord himself. It's a type of Christ. That's how I'm showing you. Let's stand our feet tonight. Look at the Lord afresh. Look afresh and live. If you're listening in this evening, look afresh to the Lord and live. If you're backslidden, come back to the cross. And live. There's life for a look. And the crucified one, there's life at this moment for thee. While every head's bowed, every eye closed. There's a one tonight listening in, and you would say, Brother Tom, will you pray for me? And there's one in this room and you need prayer, would you lift your hand up to the Lord? Amen. And I'm going to pray for you tonight. And if there's one listening in, I'm going to pray for you tonight. And if you're not saved, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. That your word is full of healing facts and truths. We ask now the Holy Spirit will come and confirm your word. With signs and wonders and divers miracles. In the name of thy holy child Jesus. Father, I ask in this room tonight. That you'll touch every man, every woman, yes. Every boy and every girl in the name of Jesus Christ. Give them strength to their bones and health to the navel. In Jesus Christ's name. We ask for those listening in. That you'll touch that man, touch that woman, touch that boy, touch that girl in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray again for our children and for all the nurses and doctors. That you'll keep every one of them safe. From all the wiles of the enemy. And cover them with your precious blood. In Jesus' precious name. Father, restore the backslider, I pray. And give thyself all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As the Brother Gary comes, God bless each one.
Yeah, this is a thing, a course or two before we leave. This